Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Thank you so much. Well, it's good to be home. Y'all have amazing pastors. Why don't you give them a great big hand clap? Pastor Dave and Pastor Kim, it's an honor to be here. Thank you for having me today. I just love being home, and I've heard so many stories about my father that I didn't know. I know, you know, their family, like he said, but it's just so encouraging to me. This is so great, and the worship just brought us in. It built my faith. Did it build yours? It's amazing. Let's start with a word of prayer before we're seated. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that your presence is here, and it's here big. Father, I thank you that as the words are spoken today, it will go into good soil, Lord God. We won't just be hearers, but we will be doers of the word. Father, I thank you that Satan, we serve you. Notice that you'll not steal one seed, amen? Not one seed of the word of God. In Jesus' name, Father, I thank you according to your word. As the word is spoken, you are sending forth your word to heal from the top of our heads to the tip of our toes. Father, we lift a hand for our loved ones. Why don't you lift a hand for your family? We say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We say it to the devil, you'll not steal one of our family members. In Jesus' name, we will stand and stand until we see our loved ones serving God all the days of their life. Father, if anyone's come in today with a heavy heart, discouraged, I pray, Lord God, that they would be changed, not by a person, but by the indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you today a little bit about vision. I want to talk to you about living a life that's better than ever. It's appropriate with all the songs that were played today. How many of you just want a so-so life, or do you want the best life you could have? Amen. That's how I am. I want to start by reading a familiar passage in Habakkuk. It says this, Habakkuk 2. It says, the Lord said to me, write my answer or my vision on a billboard, large and clear, so that anyone can read it at a glance and rush to tell the others. But these things I planned won't happen right away. Slowly, steadily, surely, the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. If it seems slow, don't despair, for these things will surely come to pass. Just be patient. These things will not be overdue a single day. Did y'all notice it said just be patient in there? The scripture is telling us to know what our vision is. Know what we're believing God for our lives. Know what our expectation is. Know where our faith is. And then to write it down, make it clear so that when you go by it, you can see it. And how many of you know when you see something over and over again, it attracts you to it, and then your faith gets stronger? Amen? Every year, my mom sends my brothers and sisters and I a text. I'm the youngest of the Osteens, and I told Marketplace yesterday I am the favorite child, in case you're wondering. She sends us a text, Pastor, about what she's believing God for the year. And I found a text from a couple years ago. It was in my notes, so I thought I'd share it with you today. She says, I trust you and your families will be blessed, especially this year. I pray that your children will be blessed and excel in all they undertake to do, that we will all be healthy and well, and that God will protect us and watch over us in everything we do. I pray there will be no accidents or harm, and we will use wisdom in our everyday lives. I pray that our churches will be blessed and that hurting, unloved, sinful people will come in the doors and feel love and give their hearts to Jesus. I pray that drug addicts, former prisoners, and prostitutes will come and feel love and forgiveness. I pray that the anointing of God will be upon our lives, that we will be quick to forgive and forget and not hold grudges. I pray that every one of us will be a good parent and that our children will feel secure in their homes and they will have good memories of their childhood and their lives. And I pray above all that people will love us and respect us, and that we will be like Jesus with a magnificent reputation. I love you all, Mama. You know, I love how my mom, and this is why I read this to you, I love how Mama is so specific. I mean, there's no doubt what we know she's believing God for the year. She's specific. She wrote it down. We know where her faith is. We know where her hope and expectancy is for our family. There was a professor who decided to give his students a surprise test. So when they walked into their university classroom, they had a piece of paper face down. He told them when they were seated to turn the paper over and that he wanted them to write about what they saw on the piece of paper. Much to their surprise, the only thing on that white sheet of paper was a small, tiny red dot right in the middle of the page. The students looked surprised and they thought, what in the world is this about? But they began to go about the task and they wrote down what they saw. Well, the professor collected all of the tests and he began to read each one of them out loud to the class, and he told them, I'm not going to grade you on this exam. I'm sure they were all thankful for that. He said, but I want you to know that every one of you, with no exception, tried to describe the tiny red dot in the middle of the page. Not one of you tried to describe the large white space that was surrounding it. He said, I want you to see so often that that's what we do in life. We magnify the tiny dots, the health problems, the relationship problems, the money problems, when all around us there's so many blessings to be adored and to be thankful for. He told the students, he said, when you go out in this world, when you leave this campus, I want you to count your blessings and not your burdens. I don't want you to focus on the tiny red dots. Focus on all of God's blessings that he's placed on your lives. Isn't that a great lesson to be learned? How often do we focus on the small red dots that are in our lives? See, folks, it's not about what we look at that matters. It's all about what we choose to see. The scripture says in Proverbs, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. See, your life will move in the direction of your thoughts. Your life will move in the direction of your focus, because where your focus goes, your energy flows. So let me ask you this morning, what are you actively focusing on? What are you pursuing in your life? You know, I love the story of the prodigal son. And if I can just paraphrase it in my terms, we see that the scripture says when the prodigal son, was a long way off, the scripture says his father saw him. See, that encourages me, because I can just imagine, Pastor, that every day that father was believing for his son to come home. Every day I can just imagine he went to the front door or whatever they had in that day and he was looking out for his son. I can imagine when he went to the marketplace that he combed the crowds looking for his boy. I can even imagine he set a space at the dinner table just for his boy, believing that one day his miracle would come to pass. And then what happened? His miracle came to pass. See, that father had to not allow the circumstances to bring him down. Can I get an amen on that? He had to allow what he didn't see. He had to not allow what he didn't see to affect what he was believing God for. Amen? It reminds me of what my dad used to say, never give up on the prodigal. Always believe the prodigal will come home. Amen? Don't give up on your prodigal. And to me, that story is not so much about a prodigal son. It's about a father who had a vision for restoration for his family, and he didn't give it up until he saw it come to pass. What do you believe in God for? The scripture says in Genesis 13:14, the Lord said to Abram, Abram, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are. In other words, Abram, get your eyes off of your current situation. Get your eyes off of your current circumstances. Look to the north, the south, the east, and the west. What are you looking for? If I was to ask you your vision, would you be able to describe it? Would you be able to be in detail about it? What are you asking God for? Billy Graham said, heaven is filled with answers for which no one has even bothered to ask. The scripture says in Matthew 7:7, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. James 4:2 says you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. Can I just tell you, don't be afraid to ask God for things. Don't be afraid to ask God for that wayward child to come home. No matter if they're on drugs, it doesn't look good. You know what? The scripture says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You stand on that scripture. Amen. When my mom was so sick with cancer in 1981, she looked like death. I was the only kid at home. I told the story the last time I was here, but I want to reflect on some things that she did that I saw that not only changed her life, but changed my life. My mom is 5'2", normally 100 pounds, 88 pounds, that's really small. And she was very weak, she was very bent over, she was only 48, she looked like she was about 98. And she didn't feel good. You know, she was given just a few weeks to live and she had pain. I'll never forget what my mom did. She took pictures of herself. She took a picture of my mom and dad when they were married. She put it in their bathroom. She took pictures of her family and she put it down the hallways. Everywhere she walked, she got a vision of victory in her path. She put pictures of herself at the church. She put pictures of herself happy. She put a picture of herself in a pink cowboy hat riding a horse in Montana. You know why she did that? Because in the worst time of her life, she had to, by faith, remember what it was like to be healthy. And so in the morning when she woke up, even though she felt bad, she made her way into the bathroom, and what did she see? Healthy Dodie. She went down the hallway. She saw strong Dodie, happy Dodie, laughing Dodie, joyful Dodie, pastor Dodie. She got that vision of victory in her life, in her mind, and in her heart. And then you have to know my mom. She didn't stop at just seeing it. My mom would speak it out, and man, she would speak it out loud. She'd be walking down those hallways when I was still asleep, and she'd say, with long life, he satisfies me and shows me his salvation. She'd scare the fire out of me, but she was telling the devil that he wasn't going to take her down. She'd say, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed in Jesus' name. She was continually speaking the word of God. See, Mama knew that her words framed her world. She knew that the words that she spoke became the house that she lived in. So she needed to get her words working for her and not against her. The scripture says in Deuteronomy, I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you today. I give before you blessing and cursing. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Everybody say life. Have you had your coffee this morning? Choose life. So that you and your descendants might live. My mom took that scripture literally. She chose life. She spoke life. Do you know that what you focus on usually comes out of your mouth? It really does. And if you're constantly saying, this is never going to happen, I'm never going to get healed, I'm never going to get that promotion, my spouse is never going to come back, my children are never going to get right, guess what? That's probably what's going to happen. But I know if you go to this church, you're not talking like that. You're speaking faith into your world. Now, listen to this. If you begin to see change through your eyes of faith, then you know what? And you begin to speak what you want to see, things are going to change for the better. Amen? You got to start speaking it out. But first, you have to have that vision. You know what? I really do see my family whole. I really do see my family unified. I really do see my body strong and healthy, and then begin to speak it out. Because this is the deal, folks. You can't talk defeat and expect victory. Let me say that over here. You cannot talk defeat and expect victory in your life. In the same regard, you can't keep talking about your problems and expect to find a solution. You gotta speak faith into your world. Listen. If you don't speak life over your life, who's going to do it? If you don't speak faith over your life, who's going to do it? If you don't speak prosperity and health and wholeness and restoration, I mean, if you're waiting for the government to do it, you better wait a long time. You might as well speak over your life. Amen? Amen. Words are free. It's how you use them that may cost you. The scripture backs it up. Proverbs 18:21, words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. We've got to get our words working for us and not against us. Amen? Yeah. Now, let me give you an example. I'm practical. I'm a mom with five kids. Just tell me how to do it. Here's just a little example. You may think, there's so much chaos going on in my world right now. Well, Let me get you refocused right here. Talk about what's going right in your life. Oh, there's something. Talk about your blessings instead of your burdens, amen? Hey, how about this? Remember that time that you didn't think you had the strength to carry on, but you made it through? Talk about that. Remember those times you thought it was so dark and you would never see the light at the end of the tunnel, but you did? Hey, talk about that, amen? Get your words working for you and not against you. You know why, folks? You've got to be careful how you talk to yourself because you are listening. Oh, that's good. That's a concept right there. Now, change what you're saying and you'll change what you're seeing. Just like that great report for the offering. Wasn't that amazing? She spoke it and spoke it and spoke it, and then she saw it. Change what you're saying, and you'll change what you're seeing. If you don't have anything life-giving and positive to say, you know what I say? Zip it on up. Don't say anything at all. Listen to this scripture. You're going to love it. Proverbs 21:23 out of the Living Bible. Keep your mouth closed, and you'll stay out of trouble. Some of us might need to write that on our bathroom mirror. The way you see your world and the way you speak to your world becomes your world. There was this little girl that learned a story in Sunday school about Jonah being swallowed by the whale. And she loved that story. She couldn't wait to get to school the next Monday morning to tell her teacher about it. And she went right up to the teacher. She said, "You're not going to believe this, but in Sunday school, I learned this story." She went on to tell her about it. That teacher smiled and she said, "You know what? That's very, very cute little story, but it's not possible. Even though the whale is a large mammal, its throat is too small. It could never swallow a human." That little girl just looked at the teacher. She said, "No, my Sunday school teacher told me it was in the Bible, and it's true." And it made that teacher mad. She said, "No, I'm telling you, it's not the truth." That little girl got a little sassy, and she said, "You know what? I don't know how it happened, but when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Jonah." That made the teacher even more irritated, and she said, "Well, what if you didn't make it into heaven?" That little girl thought for just a minute, and she put her hand on her hip, and she said, "Then you ask him." Now, I love this little girl because she had some backbone. Yes. And I tell you that because when you write the vision down, you begin to speak it, you begin to live it. You know what? People are going to try to talk you out of your vision. You got to get some backbone in your life. Amen? Yes. Know what your vision is and stick to it. Guess what, y'all? You don't have to tell everybody your vision. You don't have to tell everybody your dreams. You don't have to tell everybody what you're believing God for. Amen? Stay steadfast in what you believe. Don't allow people to talk you out of your vision. Have you ever noticed when you're believing God for a healing, someone will come tell you how their best friends, dogs, nephews, whatever, died of the same disease? You don't let people talk you out of your dreams. Don't let people talk you out of your faith. Don't allow people to dictate who you are, where you're going, or what you're believing God for. Amen? Listen, sometimes the greatest weight you can ever lose is the weight of other people's opinions. Amen? The choices that you make by accident are just as important as the choices you make on purpose. Don't let what you currently see in your life cause you to forget what God has already said. Amen? That's why it's important. I said it yesterday. Get in God's word until God's word gets in you. Now, let me flip the script for you. Instead of saying, "My kids will never get right," start saying something like this: "My kids are a blessing and a gift from above. They will serve God all the days of their life in Jesus' name." Amen? What's the scripture for that? "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Psalm 127:3, "Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him." Instead of talking about how bad your marriage is, say, "My marriage is unified. We're strong. We're better than ever." Amen? We're talking about a life that's better than ever. Mark 10:9, "What God has joined together, let no one separate." Instead of saying, "I'll never get that promotion, I'll never get that raise," start talking about how God has blessed your finances in Jesus' name. As you're faithful to the tithe, he's going to open up the windows of heaven and pour out a so great blessing on your life. Amen? Listen to Ephesians 3:20 in the Passion Translation. "Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all." Y'all, isn't that good? "For his miraculous power constantly energizes you." That's good. Listen, if words can create trouble, then words can create transformation. If words can create chaos, then words can create peace. If words can create doubt, then words can create faith and belief. Listen, y'all, you can talk yourself into defeat or you can talk yourself into victory. Amen. You can talk yourself into staying where you are right now, or you can talk yourself into your destiny. There is a miracle in your mouth. Everybody say it with me. There's a miracle in my mouth. See, when your mouth gets positive, your life gets positive. That's really good. My daughter, my youngest daughter, Ariella, and I were a couple years ago going to the store to buy some wrapping paper and Christmas gift bags. We went to this new store right by our house, and we had never been there before, so we went in and we got our basket and we started loading up with, all the stuff that we needed, and I have to buy a lot because I have 7 people in my family. And so anyway, we were loading it up and the basket was getting fuller and fuller, and I was thinking, man, this is gonna cost a lot of money. And I was looking for prices. There wasn't any prices on the bag, none on the wrapping paper, and none anywhere. And my daughter Ariella came over and she said, there's no prices on this stuff. I said, I know, this is so weird. So, I looked a little bit more and I thought, I'm just gonna go ask a sales rep. So as I'm walking over there, I noticed all around the perimeter of the store, you know what it said? Everything is a dollar. We were at Dollar Tree. I had no idea that's what it actually meant. And we looked at each other and we're like, no way. We couldn't believe it. I don't know if y'all have ever been there, but it was wild. So anyway, I pulled out these two bags, and a big bag and a smaller bag, and I looked at my daughter. I actually did this. I said, maybe this little one could be a dollar, but not this big one. It was the craziest thing. I was trying to reason away what had already been written and established before I ever came into the building. How often do we do that with God's word? If he said it, if he will do it. If he spoke it, it will come to pass. Patience, 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 standing on the firm foundation of the word of God. Amen? My dad used to tell a story, Pastor, I know you know this, but I would hear it all the time. He said there was a time in his life where he felt like he failed God, and he took himself out of the ministry. And he worked an insurance job for a while, and then he got back into the ministry. I never really knew. I'm the youngest kid. They didn't tell me everything. They assumed I knew all this stuff. I found out more from my brothers and sisters preaching to fill in the blanks. So one day I learned what it was. My dad early on went through a divorce, a very unwanted divorce, and he was a denominational pastor. They kept him on as pastor, but he couldn't shake the feeling. He felt like he was disqualified. He felt like he was unworthy to stand behind a pulpit, and so he took himself out of the ministry. One day he was reading his Bible and he realized something in the scripture. It occurred to him that God doesn't pick people the way people pick people. He noticed that most every person that God used or every person that God used in the Bible was imperfect. And he had a revelation, you know what, if God used them, then God can use me. And he got himself back in the ministry. He married my mom, had 5 kids. I hear that youngest one is really great. No, I'm just kidding. Started Lakewood Church and pastored there for, I don't know, 40, 60 years. I don't know what it was. But you know what? See how the enemy wants to get you to disqualify yourself when all the while God is not disqualifying you? You may say, I know God has a great plan for my life, but I've been an addict. I've been in prison. Maybe God has somewhat of a plan. No, God uses imperfect people. It's already been written and established. Don't disqualify yourself out of the things that God has for your life. Amen? The hardest person you might ever say goodbye to is your past self. You just got to let it go. Stop staying loyal to an old version of you. Don't cheat on your future with your past. Amen? Listen, the enemy doesn't determine your destiny. God does. Aren't you glad? Romans 8:31 says, God is for us. Who can ever be against us? God is for you, so stop being against you. Never allow the pain of the past to speak louder than the promises of your future. Amen. Don't settle for anything less than God's abundant life. It's not about your past. It's not about your upbringing. Let me just throw this in right here. Just because you didn't come from a healthy family doesn't mean a healthy family can't come from you. Amen? Just because you didn't come from a spiritually secure, built on the Word of God family doesn't mean that that can't come from you. You have to have the mantra in your life that it ran in the family until it ran into me. I'm planting a new family tree. I'm getting a big vision for my life. I'm writing it down, and I'm not going to stop till I see it come to pass. Amen? I have to tell the story. I might have told it before. Talking about vision. When my dad, we were in a small church, probably, I don't know, about 500. I didn't grow up in the feed store, or the 300. I don't even know what it was. But all I know is I was sitting on the front row. I was about 5 years old or 4 or 5 years old probably. And every service, Pastor, my dad would get up and he'd say, I want you to turn to the left. So I was sitting right there and he said, I want you to look at the wall. So we all looked at the wall and there it was, just a wall. Then my dad would say this, now I want you to look beyond the wall with eyes of faith and I want you to see a 5,000 seat auditorium. And then he began to describe it so clearly. I want you to see it filled with people. I want you to see it filled with amazing worship. I want you to see the altars filled with people giving their hearts to God. I want you to see the prostitutes, the drug addicts, the people with AIDS, because that was big back then, coming and getting love and being received. I want you to see the Word of God being taught. And then we would proceed to pray over that building. And as a little girl, and I'd look at that wall, I looked beyond the wall, and I didn't know what a 5,000-seat auditorium looked like, but I just envisioned a bigger church. And you know what? It wasn't long, I think about a year after that, or a couple years after that, maybe a year after that, you know where I was sitting? On the front row of a 5,000-seat auditorium. You know what I saw? People coming down the altars, giving their heart to Jesus. Amazing worship. The Word of God being spoken. I saw AIDS patients come and people loving on them and receiving them. Drug addicts giving their lives to Jesus. You know, my dad described the vision so well that a five-year-old could envision it. That's what I want you to think about. Describe your vision so well that your grandkid or your kid or a five-year-old could see it. Be specific. Know where you want to go in life. Envision that life of being better than ever, not settling, not staying stuck, but moving forward. Amen? Get that vision for your life, and every day, look at it, talk about it. Get your mouth positive. Get your words working for you and not against you. Speak what you seek until you see what you said. Amen? Let me say it again. Speak what you seek until you see what you've said. Never, ever, ever overestimate what's going on around you and underestimate what's going on the inside of you. Because if you've got God on the inside of you, you've got greatness on the inside of you. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word, Lord God. I thank you, Father, that every one of us will get a big vision for our life, Lord God. And we won't let it go. We won't let the enemy come in and taunt us and terrorize us and say it's never going to happen. Father, today we determine in our hearts that we're going to have that bulldog tenacity. We're going to have that never give up spirit. We're going to have that spiritual, mental, and emotional fortitude that says, if God said it, it will come to pass. I pray, Lord God, for those who have dreams hidden in their heart that they've tucked away and thought maybe, you know what, it'll never come to pass. I pray that those dreams are revived and awakened in their life today, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that every person here realizes that you're just a prayer away. That there's nothing they've done that you can't reach down and pull them up in your loving arms and rescue them. We thank you, Lord God, that you're a God of a million second chances. And today, Father, we just say, we're going to live our best for you. We're going to strive for that abundant life that you've put in your word that you said we can have. We're not going to settle. We're going to move forward. We're going to keep going. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.